greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you this morning, worship with you. I already enjoyed the Sunday school and the discussion and devotions also. The subject I'm going to speak about this morning is a subject. Usually, I like to tell you why I chose this subject. Well, this is my own personal subject. It's something that just interests me, and I wanted to give you this for what I got out of it. I'm not sure I'm done getting it out yet, but at least the part that I did get. 1 Timothy 1:13 is verses here. You don't necessarily need to go to there, but this is where it starts from. It says here, Paul's talking about himself and how that the Lord is working in his life, and then it says, that who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. This is the special last part of the verse that I was interested in. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Well, that interested me, ignorantly. What happens with ignorance? I think we generally assume that ignorance is excuses us, or at least reduces the guilt that we get from wrongdoing. I remembered, as I was thinking this, I remembered years ago when I was a young boy that Mom and Dad told us they're leaving, and they said, now, don't do this certain thing. But I wasn't there. I didn't happen not to be there. Well, anyway, the others did not comply with that. And so when they got home, of course, they found out about this, and there was going to be some consequences. Well, I told them, I'd never heard about this. I was part of them. And so everybody else got their share of whatever it was, but I didn't. Now, because I did it in ignorance, didn't know. Well, I had to think of that. Well, is that really right? Is that the thing that should really happen to people, that you take away all their guilt? So does ignorance absolve a person of some or all of the responsibility to comply with the Lord's will and his laws? And I had to think of the illiterate and isolated tribesmen of the jungle and barbarians of the past. I had to think of them. They have no knowledge of God, no outside knowledge, no written or oral knowledge of what God is about. And so does this release them of doing the will of God? Is there a sin in that, or what is it? And I have to say this, according to the scripture, there is a difference. There's a difference between doing in somewhat and in how God looks at it. In Acts 17:30, it says that when Paul was speaking on Mars Hill to the men of Athens, and he was talking about their worship of idols, then he says this, that in times past, because of your ignorance, God allowed this type of conduct to pass. And so he's indicating, yes, there is something in here. And then Peter in Acts 3 says, he told the people that he says, he's talking about their guilt about killing or the death of Jesus. And he says, I know that you acted in ignorance. So there is some difference here, but I just want to examine really what is this difference. So the difference, basically what I'm talking about, is the difference between doing something knowingly and unknowingly, and whether that violates the law if you do it unknowingly. There's lots of examples of this in the Bible about this. And to us, we have a sense of fairness in this. We didn't know about it, so do we have any responsibility about that? And so forth. Well, particularly as I'm thinking about the heathen or the barbarians, I'd like to turn to Romans 2:14 to tell you a verse to see if they're completely innocent. It says here that for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing them. So there is a natural law going on. Yes, I'll get to the subject maybe of how innocence or ignorance works on you, but let's just talk about this for a few minutes. It just interested me. So according to this these verses I just got finished reading, it appears that no one, not even the heathens who have absolutely no outside knowledge of God, that they're not totally ignorant of a creator God. You know, programmed in the soul of every man and woman, there is this sense about a creator God. God put it there. And he instilled, in one place it says, I think it's in Isaiah, that he put eternity into their hearts so that there's something there that they realize. So now maybe they have only a very faint glimpse of this creator God. But I've actually heard testimonies about people who took the little they had, and they was looking forward to something they didn't know. I don't know exactly how God would treat that exactly. It doesn't tell us completely because we just don't have the information. But even in the midst of this evil, antagonistic devil worship places, there are the possibility for somebody to see a creator God and live to the best of his ability. And then what, and of course it takes faith to believe in God, but faith is possible in these times. So I don't really know about that. But I know that God is gracious and merciful. He is a gracious and merciful judge. And the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. And I believe that he reveals himself to a true seeker. And, you know, I have to think of this. Those of us who are taught from the Scripture, we're rich in all of the things of the Scripture and of God and the deep things of God. We just have to say how fortunate and blessed we are to have these things. So maybe there's nobody really totally ignorant about God and his works. But we do have to say that we're probably going to be responsible mainly for the things that we know what is right and what is not right. And we need to be sure that we do that. There's a lot of times that we're tempted to not even do that. In James it says, him that knoweth to the good and doeth it not, him it is sin. That's a very important verse for us, that when we do know something, that we follow through. Now, ignorance means without knowledge. However, we can have knowledge and don't have any understanding of that knowledge. In some ways, that's what Paul was faced with here. He knew all about Jesus. He knew all what Jesus' things were. He had the facts there, but he didn't have the understanding of it. So we can know, but not know. I looked this up in the dictionary to know if I was correct in saying what I just said. There's two little slightly different versions of know. So we can know, but it's still we don't know. And we can know the facts, in other words, but still don't know the truth. And I think we can identify that because we sometimes read the Bible or hear preaching, and we don't internalize it. There it is, but it doesn't mean much to us. We just, the truth go right over our head, and I think that's a common thing for us to do. And I have to think, as I was studying this, reading a testimony of a young man who just hated his mother. He didn't live with his mother much of the time. She had really abused him as a youth, as a child, and he was in his youth. But one day he found the Lord, according to this testimony, that I actually heard this testimony. And one day he found the Lord. He was so excited with that, and he was under the teaching of the Word of God. He went through everything that the Bible teaches about, or that Jesus taught. But he hated his mother. Never thought of it. He just didn't, he didn't know, in other words. One day he was reading in Matthew 18, and all of a sudden it stuck out. Hey, I need to forgive Mom for what she did. So he was exactly what I'm trying to show, that you can sometimes know but not know. The disciples were another perfect example of this. Remember the disciples? Jesus told them over and over again, you know, I'm going to be killed, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. He told them everything about it. And he told them evidently more than once, according to the scripture. But they didn't believe that. They had the facts, but they didn't understand it. It didn't soak in. It wasn't in there. So gaining knowledge is important. If you want to get to heaven, you need to learn and so forth. But in addition to that, we're also responsible to know what we reasonably should know. There's a philosophy around, I've heard of this more than once, where people have said that, you know, I don't want to read the Bible too much or study too deep because then I'm going to be more responsible. Well, you know, that's not going to get you off the hook to say that kind of thing, because the Bible is plain in different places that I could point out. But I think you see the sense in that, that God, what you could know is as important, reasonably could know is as important as to know it. So knowledge is good, but that's not enough. And that's the kind of thing that Paul was talking about. And so to understand that knowledge is so much more important and such a higher goal. But here's where the problems come in, is to understand that. There are a lot of hindrances in the world today for you to understand and for the world and the people of the world to understand. There's barriers and things that keep you, different varieties of things that just put you off and you don't even go there. The disciples were so enthused with Jesus being this new king, they didn't hear him. They simply didn't hear him. So there's a lot of hindrance and things. If it wouldn't be for this, all the Christian people would believe exactly alike, because there's no hindrance, there's no obstacle, there's nothing to keep you from being exactly alike. The great hindrance that Paul faced, as did the disciples too, was a preconceived understanding of the facts that he had. He couldn't get over that. And that's a very common thing. The Muslims of today, they're faced with these stumbling blocks to get to getting this understanding, this knowledge, and this truth that they should have so much. Here's some of the things that they're faced with, for instance, is they're taught about Christianity in a very bad way, because I read quite a bit that the Muslims are, right away when they think of Christianity, they go back to the year 1200, something like that, and the Crusades and how that they murdered and killed the Muslims. Truth of it is, the Muslims did the same thing. That doesn't matter. They got this idea in their head, and they think that's what it is. Also, they believe that Christians worship three gods, so when they're so sure that there's just one God, and we believe in one God, except we believe in the Trinity. They say they just can't get over that. Well, there's some other things. This is an example of the things that they do to dismiss Christianity offhand without any consideration. in their example, because of this, and I remember because of this, God often shows them signs to help them overcome the barriers to this understanding. Now, I'm here in this case, I'm specifically talking about the new birth, finding Jesus. I'm actually more emphasizing to us, and for me, it's more important about the things God wants us to do other than this, exactly. But even I even remember my father, who had this idea that he couldn't get out of his head, where of God and of Jesus. He couldn't. It was a preconceived idea, and it kept him from the new birth. And so one day, through a very precious sign that he got, the Lord told him in a way that he had to be told because he couldn't get over this obstacle in his way. A lot of people in the world today can't find Jesus because, and they stay in ignorance because of these hindrances. And even for us Christian people, it's the case. We dismiss, or people dismiss, the truth because of course, preconceived notions. They will say these other things like, well, there's hypocrites. So if there's hypocrites, basically use that to dismiss Christianity completely. It's the teaching of men. So truth keeps you, it keeps you from truth because men are teaching. Well, that's correct. It does often from finding the true one. It's an unimportant subject. If God says it, it's not unimportant, but that's part of the thing that people are dismiss because of ignorance. one of the very hard obstacles to overcoming what the Bible really says is the sense that other Christians get by with this. They get by with this, and this must be it's not important. But I think there's a very, very good verse to combat that. It's in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, it's not wise to compare yourself with others. That should just be something that we know offhand. We shouldn't be doing that. Also, we need to be very cautious as we're seeking truth about listening to teachings of men, because they're... we need to search the truth for ourselves, because you're not going to go to heaven on the back of any other teachers. So we need to search ourselves. And there's people with really fine Christian people, in my opinion, with really blockages in their thinking, and it could happen to you. I remember I was at a mission conference. It wasn't in our denomination. It was a non-denominational, but it wasn't even Anabaptist. I was at this conference, and it was a good conference, and they were talking missions, and they were enthused, and people got up and everything. And then there was this young man related to the president that was dressed in Army uniform. He's ready to go off to war. So here there were teaching missions, going out and saving people, and this one man was going to go out to war and shoot people. So they got him up, and they prayed, and they thanked him for his duty and everything. Well, I was kind of quick to condemn that type of a thing until I was studying this type of a thing that I'm studying now. Yes, it's wrong for us, and I don't believe God wants that either. I definitely believe that. But this is the kind of thinking that the Christian community is in. So a lot of these people that we rub shoulders with in the Christian world, they're faced with the obstacle of getting over this. Must be this is all right in the scripture because everybody else is doing it. So is that ignorance acceptable to God? I told you that I believe that there's something in the scripture that indicates that, yes, ignorance has its point. But how far? How much? I don't know. If you would be born in that kind of a setting, how hard it would be for you to overcome that type of a thing? They read the same scripture and they believe in the same Jesus that we do, but the light doesn't come on in some of those people. I'm not sure how God looks at all of that. But it was sort of freeing to me to realize that there is a difference between ignorance and just simply not knowing it, and because of big obstacles. I suppose all of us here have a certain obstacles to hopefully they're not of that strong variety, but obstacles to knowing God's will really deeply in our own heart. Only God knows the real truth of this. And if they are accountable or not. But it behooves us always to continue to ask the Lord to remove these things, these obstacles, so that we can see the truth right straight through there. There's people that do see the truth. For instance, I can't even think of his first name, but Taylor's last name, it has a really a wonderful testimony, and is Indiana Baptist, and he and his wife were in the military and so forth. But we need to ask the Lord. You know, that was the problem that Joshua had. He lost the city of Ai. He lost that battle. And it was all on one thing, is that he didn't ask the Lord ahead of time. The Lord could have easily told him there's sin in the camp, but he didn't ask. And he failed because he didn't ask. But even among our own people, we might be under the sound of truth and read it and even observe the things that the church has already decided is in Scripture. But the light hasn't gone on yet. The internal light that the significance and the will of God and the very things here of they do these things, but they haven't really put them inside here. And of course, they're not in error in the sense it's not that they're disobeying the things in Scripture, but how much better it is if you seek into these things and internalize them and make them part of you and you recognize the truth of it. So it's so much better. And because the evil day is going to come someday, and you're going to be tempted and found out that, oh, you did this because of the church. You didn't go to war because of the church, for instance. But that's the Bible is pretty plain on these issues. How can you do these things? And the early church, of course, was very plain on it too. So now, although we've mentioned how that ignorance of God's rules does figure in his judgment, it really does. It makes a difference. Exactly how and everything, I'm not sure, but there are some indications which I'm about ready to give here. So, but does ignorance completely satisfy the judgment? So you're doing something God doesn't want you to do, but that he really doesn't, but you didn't know about it, and so does that satisfy his justice? You know, God is the God of justice. It's the very essence of his nature. He can't dispense or do away with a law broken, whether you did it in ignorance or not. He can't totally do that because he's the God of justice. He's got to have something to take care of that justice. And I'd like to read out of Numbers here, just something would help us. It's in Numbers 15:28. Here's what it says there. And this isn't the only place in the Old Testament. It's repeated at least three or four times. They all should say at least two or three. I know it's in Deuteronomy 2, and I know it's another place in Numbers. But here's what it says. I'll just read part of what it says here. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. Okay, so sinneth ignorantly. So it's a sin to do it, but you did it ignorantly. When he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. So there was an atonement made, and it's forgiven. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. So it's interesting. I'm not trying to make a strong point of this necessarily, but it's just interesting how the Lord looks at this. Something has to be taken care of. It says that this person sinned ignorantly, And I think the place in Deuteronomy says that once he recognizes that he did that, then he needs to make confession, which we already can see that's the truth. So he has to justify this trespass somehow. He has to take care of this judgment somehow. And he does that with mercy and grace through repentance and faith. Let's see, I lost my place in 1 Timothy, but in there, if I remember right, it says there in 1 Timothy that I did it through ignorance, but I obtained mercy. So he evidently obtained mercy because he confessed and turned around. That's why he did it ignorantly, but that was enough. It says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So God will give mercy based on, even in the Old Testament, evidently he did it looking forward to Jesus dying on the cross. But so because of repentance, God took care of his justice in this way. He said, okay, because you repented and because I've got something in place, okay, so that takes care of it. But nevertheless, the Lord would wish, that's the right word, he would want people not to be ignorant. He doesn't want these people ignorant in the jungles of Africa or wherever they're at that had never heard the Lord, because their chances of finding the Lord are so slim. He doesn't really want them to be ignorant. He wants them to know everything. But God knows the hearts of each person who will stand before the judgment bar. He knows what it is. And his judgment is righteous. to our human way of thinking, this has got to be a very hard way to judge. He's got to decide whether you did it ignorantly and how much do you reduce it because of ignorance, how do you look at all of these things? and he needs to take into account the intents of the heart, why he did it and so forth. You know, even in our earthly judges, they have to make these hard decisions. And we can identify with how that the Lord would do it some way by this. I was reading in the Spokane paper here a while ago, and so there was this reporter, Spokane reporter, he went to the court and he was listening to the excuses people made for speeding and then what their sentence was. And I remember one of them was, why were you speeding? Well, I wasn't paying attention. Well, you get a ticket for that. The other one was, I forgot about the speed limit. You get a ticket for that. I was late for my flight to go somewhere. Well, he got a ticket too. And then somebody came in, and he was a foreigner from out of the country. And his excuse was, or his reason was, I was following the locals, and I thought that was the new rule. I saw the speed limits, but I figured, you know what, they know better than I do, and so forth. So the judge dismissed his case. He was ignorant, or whatever, close to ignorance anyway. So for us today, God made his will easy to understand, very easy. It's just so simple that even a fifth grader can understand his will, that you have all kinds of theologians going over everything, and so easy that there's no... But there are deep things of God, I admit that. You'll never find the depth of it. We even talked about that in Sunday school today, how that God conceals things. It seems like God is almost there, in one sense, making things... you discover new things. It makes it exciting to serve God. Those are so deep that we will never even get even just a minute part of his great power and his nature. But his will for mankind is very simple. It's not deep at all. And so it doesn't matter If you really want to get out of the understanding of the truth, the barriers that you get from existing cultures around you, or the influences of other Christians, or the Bible teachers, we are responsible for searching and finding His mandates, because neglectful and ignorance is no excuse whatsoever, or a very poor excuse, whatever. And you know, it seems like the Lord doesn't take, if you're ignorant, unless it's, I don't know, I don't understand this verse totally, but this is what it says here in Luke, having to do with ignorance. It says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, so here's ignorance, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. That's interesting to me. Why no stripes? But a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I think, though it doesn't say it exactly, I think he's talking about deeper things. But nevertheless, the point is, their ignorance is not knowing things is pretty serious business if you could have known them, and so forth. Now, we can't blame others or say, I didn't know the truth. It's kind of interesting because just last Sunday school lesson, it was in Proverbs 24:12, I believe, it says, here it is. This is partially paraphrased by me, but it says, if you profess ignorance, this is almost straight quoting, except I added a little bit to make it easier to understand. If you profess ignorance and say, we did not know this, does not he who weighs and ponders the heart perceive it? He who guards your life, does he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? I just think that we can't deceive God. We can't say we're ignorant of this. It requires us to do this. Now, I am not even going to talk about 2 Peter 3:15 or 3:5, where it says that people were willingly ignorant. I don't think that applies to us. I hope not. But it applies to a lot of people in the world who are willingly ignorant because they don't want to be a Christian. So they don't even know the truth, period. And, of course, there's a place for those. But in the end, what can we learn from this subject? Well, I was thinking what I learned because it was very interesting to me on this subject. The importance of it is to honestly, diligently search God's will. That's just a given. I need to do that. But the other thing, and maybe the most eye-opening for me was, or at least maybe my eyes were open too to the light, it helped me see better other Christians who seem to me to be missing big key instructions in the Bible. They're missing these. They go on their Christian life their whole year or years. It helps me to think, well, maybe they're into this, what Paul's talking about, or what it's talking about in various places in the Scripture. And God, in his wisdom, will take into account all of these things. Was it because it's just too much, too hard to get to understand and to get over some of these barriers he has to get. And so he was legally ignorant. And so it really helps me to see, as I go to one of these mission conferences and see what I saw there and raise my eyebrows at this thing, I come back to these things I just got finished discussing. And that's maybe what helped me about as much as anything. I'm going to close with that.